Blog Talk Radio.
There we go. Welcome to Weekday Wednesday. This always does this. This is great. It's going to cut off at the right time, start back up hopefully at the right time. Yay! Weekday Wednesday. Thank you for being here.
How you doing, Bellstar?
I'm good. I'm great. How are you? Cannabis Kid?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, that's a big tie there.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday. Hump day. Happy hump day, everybody.
Hump day.
Halfway through the crazy work week, if you're out there doing crazy working. If you're not, good for you. Tell us how you do it. Well, we would like to start by saying thank you for listening. Weekday Wednesday is Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. We will have interviews, strain review, product reviews tonight, news, information about anything, everything medical cannabis in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large. What a large world. We are sending folks out a little message now saying that we are live. And it's saying the text is too long, so we have to shorten it. All right, we're shortening it. Also, you can call
646-915-8421 to be on the radio station, ask questions, call in. That is 646-915-8421.
Yeah, and that's for anybody who's not sitting at the computer or anybody who's sitting at the computer who has a friend that's not sitting at the computer. Does that make sense?
Or you're on the road.
So, yeah.
Call in from Bluetooth.
You could be walking down the street, hitting up the next 7-Eleven. Call us. We've got a great show tonight. We have Project CBD, Mr. Martin Lee, who wrote an awesome book. I'm still waiting for it, but I know it's awesome because I cheated a little bit, and I got a pre-read here. He did a little book interview somewhere. I didn't get to see where, but if you go to, I think it's smokesignalsthebook.com. That's exactly it. If you scroll down on his website to the right, there's a little, it's a Smoke Signals book review he did. It's about a 40-minute video. It's awesome. Everybody should check that out, and you will surely be inspired to go get this incredible book. We are actually going to be calling Mr. Lee in just a minute here. But first, let's see. What's going on in the world? What the heck do we have going on? Forget your notes. Tell me what's happening in the cannabis world. Do you know?
I don't really know.
Wow. We've got Green Halo on the verge of opening the Tucson's first dispensary, hopefully.
They have like 45 days left?
Well, they said end of November. The state's going to check out the rest of their paperwork, check out the facilities, do a little review.
I was just up at a fundraiser for the White Mountain case last Wednesday.
Do you know what happened with that?
It was a good crowd. I think there could have been a lot more people out there.
Up to support it?
Up out there to support it.
Yeah.
Because isn't that what we're trying to do right now?
We are. There could always be more.
But we wanted to get back early. We were Tucsonians driving back home 2 hours.
Oh, that's
so,
a stretch. And that's
it was
a dangerous
9 o'clock
drive
when we left. So, I mean, but they had a lot of their conversations at the very beginning, and they had some great prizes. I think there was over 150 door prizes.
Wow.
if you they picked a raffle ticket, but
wow.
Some places excellent. Like Mary Jane Survival Guide was up there representing.
Excellent.
Some other great products that are coming out of the woodworks as the dispensaries are showing more face.
Good. So, I think there's a Scottsdale dispensary that's getting ready to do its final paperwork too.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. I asked you that question for a reason, but
I know, you got me all excited.
I know, but anyway, it is exciting.
So I was like, maybe
it
I do
exciting.
Know that something's
well,
going on.
And actually, the White Mountain case, well. There is, if you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, they have some news and information and things you can check out there. But we will be reading about just that. And also about, there's an article we're going to read later about moms that say they are better moms because they smoke marijuana.
That is, you know what?
Well,
it can't.
I know. We are all
sitting
here trying to find a way to politically
agree. How stressful it is to be a mom. I mean, you have a lot.
Are you a mom? No. Okay, he's
of
the male species, but he can be a mom. He looks like he could agree to this whole mothers need marijuana thing.
You have the weight of the world on your hands as a mom.
M&M, mothers need marijuana. as I walk through the wrong show. We have also on our show tonight our Ever Fun Hempathy book. We love that. That is a great, great book. And let's see, we're getting some Facebook posts here because you can go, you can actually ask questions via Facebook about the show. So let's see, what else do we have going on here? Lots of fun things. But I think we finally have Mr. Lee's phone number now. And I think we're going to call him up and we're going to go from there. So let me, and if you want to, again, you can go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And click on the radio link. It'll take you right to our show. If you want to listen in, you can blog in. There's a section there to chat it up with us.
Chat it up.
Chat it up. And, yo.
Some good questions coming in.
Yeah, we've got a really – this guy's smart. Holy Toledo.
You want to know about CBDs.
Man, let's –
this is going to be it.
This is going to be a good one. So give me a moment here to call this number. And while we're waiting to get him on the line here, go to smokesignalsthebook.com and check it out. So let's see here. Let's get back over here. We are going to make an attempt to make a call from the actual radio show. It's really, really cool. So it says call a guest. We're going to put the number in, and it is. Just kidding. I'm not going to say that. It's really folks out there getting ready to write it down. They're like, woo, we got this. Nope. And we're screening calls from now on. What happened that one show? All right, let's see.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on Weed Day Wednesday.
Hello, Mr. Lee.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you? This is Belle Starr.
And Cannabis Kid.
How's your evening?
Okay, your evening's going well.
Yeah.
And we're on the air soon?
What's that?
We're on the air soon.
We're on the air now.
Oh, great,
live.
Okay. I didn't know. Very good. I'm glad to be with you.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. Are you over in the Bay Area?
North Bay, it's called. About an hour and a half north of San Francisco and Oakland. In Sonoma County, a little bit below the Emerald Triangle, a little below Mendocino County.
Well, I was born in Oakland, so I know what you're talking about. Sonoma's beautiful. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
North Coast is just really beautiful.
Oh, it is. And we, of course, we love the Emerald Triangle.
Yeah. And nothing wrong with Humboldt County.
No, not a darn thing. So, Mr. Martin Lee, as I told you in our emails, we had ordered your book a while ago. It didn't come, but I had the great little opportunity to check out on your website the book review you did. I'm not sure exactly where it was. It was in a little bookstore setting of sorts. And you talked about smoke signals.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
on the website.
Awesome. Yeah, I was really disappointed not to. I'm not a really big reader, but this book seems like to me it'd be a really good read. What did you say? There's 56 or 58 sections it's divided into, and it tells the story of, well, you tell us. Tell us what your book's about. Awesome.
Well, it's like 56 stories woven together, all about cannabis as a central theme, but each of these 56 stories has their individual focus, but it's all bound together in a tapestry, in a big weave. So it tells the story, social history actually, a story told through characters of how cannabis came to the Western Hemisphere. It was brought over initially by slaves. The seeds were brought over initially by slaves on slave ships. And then what happened and how it spread to the United States, what became the United States. How it became illegal, and most significantly, what happened on a grassroots level among individuals, activists, concerned citizens who opposed the prohibition of cannabis that was imposed in 1937 on a federal level. It was really in the 1960s that a significant grassroots, large-scale opposition to cannabis prohibition first began to emerge, which makes sense because that was the time when millions of people turned on in the United States for the first time. You had a huge upsurge of interest and use of cannabis. And then it really tells a story from there, how the opposition movement unfolded, the tensions between the anti-prohibitionists and the prohibitionists in American society, and the great turning point that occurred in 1996, when California became the first state to approve medical marijuana as a ballot measure. And, of course, a lot has happened since then. But much of the second half of the book focuses on how the federal government in cahoots with state and local law enforcement, both in California and in other states, oppose the medical marijuana ballot measures and have either covertly or very overtly tried to torpedo the will of the people and overturn the democratic will by opposing medical marijuana. So really it's a full-scale history. It deals with a lot of different themes, you know, music, science, art, politics, hopefully people enjoy it and feel it's a good read.
Well, let me ask you a question. Maybe you have a better understanding of this since you come from a historical cultural view. And here it is. What's the problem? It's a plant. And it's a plant that for some people medically is really beneficial, and for some people emotionally it's very beneficial, and for some people spiritually it's beneficial. And as a resource for the earth and for the environment, like what is the, why just don't get it? Like what is it that the government doesn't get? Why don't they see this like we do?
Well, I think historically we should keep it in perspective and realize that the prohibition of cannabis is an anomaly. That's what's out of sync with the history. For thousands of years, the plant has been used medicinally. It's been used for pleasure. It's been used for fiber and for many practical uses. And it's only really within the past 100 years that there's been this crazy prohibition, that the reefer madness took hold in the United States, and because the United States really became the dominant country in the 20th century, it imposed this reefer madness mentality on much of the rest of the world. I think for some reason, various reasons, it just kind of cannabis touches a raw nerve in American culture for various different reasons, it's complicated, and some of it has really nothing to do with the plant and everything to do with the people who are either opposing the plant or embracing the plant. The opposition to cannabis had very much to do initially with the impulse on the part of Harry Anslinger, our first drug czar, the Voldemort of vipers, the head of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics. And he basically was trying to save his own bureaucratic department. It was during the Depression in the 1930s. There was economic problems, budget cuts. And in order to save his department from being axed entirely, he had to come up with some reason for being, some reason for getting renewed funds for expanding the funding of the department. So he made up this whole nonsense about marijuana, the reefer madness, and it was all bound up with racism at the time, with fears of men and women from different races having sexual contact, and it was all it was very effective, this campaign, because it touched on themes in American society that were very volatile. Women were just getting the right to vote at this period. That made a lot of men uncomfortable, so forth and so on. So it became kind of a trigger point for society. And then when in the 1960s you had the Cultural Rebellion of the 60s, the anti-Vietnam War movement and so forth, and symbolically marijuana became associated with these social movements, and those who were against these social movements, those who were for the war in Vietnam and for the dominant cultural laws as they were, basically took a stand against marijuana because that was a symbolic way of putting down the cultural ferment. So it has a lot to do with the people in the culture, very little to do with the plant itself.
Right. So how do you change that view? I mean, how do we introduce a view that's going to be I don't even know how you would introduce a wide-scale view like that would counteract everything they did. How do you do that?
Well, it's been happening slowly but surely since the 1960s, and increasingly what's very interesting about the marijuana story, increasingly the plant has sort of gained favor and has prevailed on a cultural level. Really the plant is the best advertisement for itself. People try it and they like it, or they have good things to say about it. They don't have much bad to say about it. There's a lot of hysteria about it, but it's really not based on experience or fact. So I think really the plant is its best argument. And when we look at where things are at now, you have a very strong majority, a cultural consensus in the United States that understands and affirms the importance of there being medical marijuana as an option for people. It's not to say necessarily the 70 or 80% who support the notion that people should have that option. If the doctor says so, and if they prefer to go that route, then people should have that option. That is a done deal, or that's been decided in our culture. You don't have those kinds of majorities in public opinion polls. unless a consensus has been reached. But oddly enough, while 70-80% affirm the importance of medical marijuana as an option, mm-hmm. only about half the country polls saying they support adult use in general, personal use. So there's about 20-30% of Americans who apparently feel that the U.S. government, the federal government, is lying about medical marijuana, claiming it doesn't exist.
Right.
But somehow maybe they're telling the truth about quote-unquote recreational marijuana, because a lot of people are scared of recreational marijuana, even though they might favor medical marijuana as an option, or at least a right for people to exercise an option, even if they don't want to exercise that option themselves. So there's kind of a strange disconnect in the culture, if you will, that...
Right.
I mean, how could you think that the government's full of beans when they say marijuana has no medical properties, but then think they're telling the truth when they say all these bad things about, quote-unquote, recreational marijuana? It doesn't make sense. There's a major disconnect. And in a way, that's who I was writing the book for. I wanted people to read Smoke Signals who weren't necessarily part of the chorus of true believers, who didn't already identify with cannabis culture or maybe have the personal experience using the plant, but simply those people who had members of family who were dealing with cancer or Alzheimer's or some serious illnesses, many of which these illnesses, cannabis turns out, can provide significant therapeutic benefits for. I was trying to reach the non-converted in addition to those who are up on the culture already.
Mm-hmm. Are you a patient yourself?
Yes.
In California?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Since 96, or have you been involved?
No, I became a patient in the, it was after I had a traumatic brain injury, and it was 2006 I became a patient. Up until that time, while I supported medical marijuana, I didn't have a letter from a doctor.
Right. Wow.
And now I do, and I renew it each year. And
and
it's important to go to a doctor and talk about your health situation, and particularly doctors who are up on cannabis therapeutics, for which most doctors really aren't. You know, it's not something that's discussed in medical schools, not something that's taught. So a lot of doctors really learn more from their patients about marijuana and its medical uses than they're necessarily knowledgeable about initially themselves.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Do you think that'll change in the future? Do you think cannabis will be written into something maybe the doctors will be learning about?
I would think so, because the scientific discoveries that have been made within the last 20 years about how marijuana works in the brain, what happens when you smoke marijuana, what goes on with these receptors in the brain and what it does. It turns out that these discoveries that have been made starting in the late 1980s are very, very important in terms of understanding, you know, basic issues in medical science. And I think it's impossible to ignore these discoveries, and increasingly the discovery of what's called the endocannabinoid system, the system of receptors in the brain and body that respond pharmacologically to cannabis. That discovery is recognized as a major breakthrough by biologists and other scientists. And I think it's a very exciting area of medical science, and there's a lot of medical research going on here. And one of the great ironies, to sum it up, is that the U.S. government heavily funded scientific research in an effort to show why marijuana was harmful, what harm it did. And instead of showing that, they ended up facilitating these major breakthroughs in science, so that now they understand that the brain actually has a built-in repair kit that can repair injured brain cells and so forth. Before, back in the early 1980s, the brain was considered to be hardwired. You have a certain number of brain cells, and some of them die, that's it. But now we know from studying the endocannabinoid system, which turns out to be including the receptors in the brain that actually regulate the creation, the genesis of new brain cells in the adult mammal brain. That's one of the things I learned when I was researching Smoke Signals. It's quite something. You know, the brain can produce new brain cells. Adults can. New stem cells that then differentiate and become, you know, different things in the body. And it's the cannabis receptors in the brain that govern and regulate that process. That's quite amazing. And it's one of the reasons why cannabis is very good medicine for a lot of neurological conditions.
That's true. That's very interesting. Did you happen to go to the conference in Tucson in April, the clinical conference?
Yes, I spoke at the conference of the Patients at a Time. They hold that conference about every other year in different cities around the country. It's always an excellent event because it brings together scientists, doctors and other medical professionals, as well as patients and just interested parties from the general public. They offer it as a class for people for continuing education. And I was one of the speakers there. I spoke about CBD, cannabidiol, and the work we're doing with that in California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have one of your, in fact, we got that there at the projectcbd.org. We have a pamphlet here about that. Talk to us about that a little bit. I still want to talk about your book some more because in the video you talked about Louis Armstrong and the benefit of cannabis for him and how you said his grandfather was a slave and bringing it, or tying the roots together. But talk about CBD a little bit.
Sure. Well, in Louis Armstrong's day, the pot he was smoking, and he was a great pot smoker. He's the king of jazz, or jazz is built on his shoulders. But it's likely that the cannabis Louis Armstrong was smoking had a fair amount of CBD, a compound known as cannabidiol, in marijuana. And that's unusual compared to what's going on today. Basically, in California, what we learned about was that there was a particular compound in marijuana called cannabidiol that's not psychoactive. It doesn't make people feel high, but it actually confers a lot of medical benefits, has tremendous therapeutic power. And particularly when combined with THC, they enhance each other's effect. You know, when we think of marijuana, oftentimes we think, well, getting stoned. It's all about THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, the precursor, so to speak. And there's a lot more to marijuana than that, it turns out. It's part of the government's game that they play, trying to reduce marijuana to just one compound. It's just THC. It just gets you high. That's what it's all about. It turns out in cannabis there's hundreds of different compounds, including many that have medicinal properties. There's about 100 different cannabinoids, they're called, certain categories, certain class of compound, of which THC is a part of, and CBD also. And CBD is the second most prominent compound in marijuana. But over the years, it was bred out by many of the growers and breeders who were working with cannabis who wanted to make the pot stronger and more stonier. So they inadvertently bred out the the CBD, so there was only very little bit of it in most of the strains that are now available. But in the old days, generally, THC and CBD were in equal amounts, more or less. So in a sense, the plant had in some ways, greater medicinal potential when you have that configuration. But in California and in other states, it's coming back now so that patients can have the option of getting many types of strains, and not just the THC-dominant strains, but some that have more CBD in it, which would be then less psychoactive, less stonier. And for some people, that's what they want. Some people aren't comfortable with the cannabis high. They don't like the way that makes them feel. So for these people, there's good news because, you know, prior to the rediscovery of CBD, people who didn't like marijuana couldn't really take advantage of the medicinal benefits, which are very considerable. And that seemed like a bad rolling of the dice, you know. If you've got certain conditions but you don't like feeling high, well, then you're not going to use marijuana when it could help you. Now with CBD-rich marijuana, as we call it, people who don't like getting high can also benefit from marijuana medically, and I think that's very significant development. So we formed a group in California called Project CBD. It's an educational service oriented toward educating the medical marijuana community, the doctors and the patients and the general public, about what the scientists are learning when they work with CBD in animal experiments, in test tubes, in petri dishes. What they're finding out is just astonishing. CBD turns out to shrink cancerous tumors. It can destroy them. It prevents the onset of Alzheimer's. It prevents the onset of diabetes. It can make an irregular heartbeat regular. This is what they're discovering from animal studies. There's been also some considerable amount of work with human subjects as well, particularly in the area of using CBD for neuropathic pain as a painkiller, which is very effective. So there's a lot of interesting work being done in this area, and I wrote about this in Smoke Signals, and it was one, in terms of all the research that I did and the historical work, it was something that surprised me. I knew nothing about CBD. I knew nothing about the science, which, as we were just saying before, is kind of a relatively new area. This was a great surprise, to my delight, to learn about this. And I thought it was one of the more important things I could do to try to communicate what I was learning to the general public. Because when you hear about what the science is saying, it's game, set, and match. It's over, the discussion about cannabis. The science powerfully validates the experience of medical marijuana patients. And that's really important.
Yeah, why does the government say they can't find any scientific evidence to support it then?
You know, why is the moon made of green cheese? This is a part of the government's fanaticism, this maniacal, you know, the reefer madness is the people that are pushing the idea of reefer madness. Or in today's world, reefer madness doesn't fly in the same way it used to. It's a kind of more toned-down version of reefer madness. So today we don't hear you smoke a joint, you become crazy, and you kill your mother. You just hear that young males are more likely to become schizophrenic if they smoke marijuana. It's not true. Marijuana doesn't cause schizophrenia. If it did, we'd have a lot more people schizophrenic in our society ever since the 1960s when millions of people started smoking marijuana. And yet, when we look back to the 1960s to the present day, the number of schizophrenics is basically the same. So if marijuana caused schizophrenia, we'd be seeing millions more people being schizophrenic.
Right.
You know, but there's a lot. When you actually look at what the drug warriors and the propagandists against marijuana say, the studies they cite about schizophrenia and marijuana, there's no causal relationship there. Just the same, you know, the same goes when they claim that now it's marijuana causes drop in IQ if you're a young person smoking as a teenager. But when you go back and look at the studies that they were actually talking about, there's no causal relation. The scientists themselves aren't saying marijuana causes IQ to drop. They're saying there might be an association that people who smoke a lot of pot as teenagers, for whatever reason that might be, that compels them to do that, they end up having lower IQs than a general group. Well, it might be other reasons. It might be whatever is causing a person to smoke marijuana morning, noon, and night as a young, as a teenager. Whatever is driving a person to that space, that might be causing a drop of IQ, not the marijuana itself. So, you know, when you look at these studies carefully, it just doesn't hold water. Whatever the government, federal government says about marijuana, look at the 180-degree opposite, and more likely that that's true. That's what I found.
Right. Probably exactly right, and people need to do some research to figure that out. We have a patient here that would like to ask a question. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Mary Denton, and I was first exposed to all this information at that conference up at the
cannabis conference, right?
Yeah, and I'm a local here sort of. Newly transitioning to medical marijuana, we haven't been using it that long. But I found in going to the physicians in the town that have been here for a long, long time, that there still is a lot of negativity about how they treat the patients that even ask the question about that as a better alternative to, these heavy barbiturate painkillers and stuff. Is your organization working on those kinds of issues, or have they made progress in California, in your state? Or?
Well, certainly those issues we've been addressing, because when it comes to painkillers, there is really a stark example of the benefits of medical marijuana, particularly these CBD-rich strains, the strains that are high in cannabidiol, are really the best for neuropathic pain, for the pain in the periphery. And there's science that explains why that's the case, but certainly that's what patients are saying. And there's a consistent report when people start using medical marijuana who are dealing with chronic pain issues that they end up using less pharmaceutical opiates and so forth. And that's significant, and that seems to be an obvious benefit, that the less opiate drugs you can use, the better. That seems like a no-brainer, except, again, marijuana has that cultural stigma where people, on the one hand, they tend to trivialize it or dismiss it. On the other hand, they tend to, as part of that, look upon people with suspicion. Oh, you just want to get stoned. Is that what you're saying? You're not really medical marijuana. Come on. Patients are claiming hundreds of different diseases that it helps. That sounds like snake oil. So there's a lot of misconceptions, and doctors are part of our culture. They are exposed to this kind of misinformation as well, and some doctors project that, no different from anything else in our culture. But when you look back upon it historically, again, there's a lot of validity to the idea that marijuana is a tremendously versatile medicine, and it is good for hundreds of different diseases. When you go back and look at the first pharmacopoeia in the Chinese culture, ancient China, it said the same thing, that medicinal hemp was good for 100 different conditions. When you look at the U.S. Medical Dispensatory from the 1800s, the mid-1800s, ended up listing over 100 conditions that cannabis indica extracts were good for. You know, so there is a consistent theme here, but when you look at it, when you step back and you think, what are these doctors who or others who just aren't part of the cannabis culture, the cannabis industry, whole medical marijuana resurgence that we're experiencing today, looking at it from the outside in, you can maybe see why they're wondering what's going on here. How could one herb be good for so many different things? But just to sum up this point, I think CBD is very important in all this because it really refutes the notion that marijuana, medical marijuana, is just a front for stoners. Because if that's the case, why are so many patients in California and elsewhere? We hear from people all around the world who are looking for CBD-rich cannabis for their conditions. Why do so many people want that when it doesn't get you high? Or if it makes you feel anything, it's very, very, very mild. And some of the strains have no psychoactivity because the CBD can actually counter the psychoactivity of THC while enhancing many of its medicinal benefits. If it was just the front for stoners, well, then CBD wouldn't be taking hold. So CBD is not only a powerful medicine, but it's a powerful myth buster. And one of the myths it busts is this smear that medical marijuana is really just an excuse for people to get high.
Huh. Well, what do they say the excuse for Vicodin and all that stuff is?
That comes from a pharmaceutical company. It comes in a pill, and I guess that they think that's okay. But when you consider the problems, I mean, look at the big problems with drugs in our society. It's alcohol and prescription pills.
Right.
And it really is rather ironic. We're talking about corporate America benefiting. You know, these are alcohol companies and these big pharma drug companies. They're the ones who are really the culprits in terms of drug abuse in our society. They're the ones pushing the stuff that's really hurting. And that the disparity is so stark that when you can look at this objectively, you just step back. You know, people start to get it, and they realize, you know, they're being sold a bill of goods. They're not getting the straight dope, as it were, about marijuana, and there's all the other stuff that are being pushed on people doesn't seem to work very well. So, I mean, it all has its place, but, you know, obviously the damage from opiate addiction is very significant now as a result of the OxyContin and so forth, and that's just scandalous. Imagine if there was some marijuana pusher or some illegal drug dealer that was wrecking the lives of hundreds of thousands of people like this. Would they be getting a pass? Like they are in the press today. Oh, yeah, you know, we hear about there's problems, but these are still respectable companies. They get their tax breaks, and they function, you know, even though they put out phony information that hurts people, you know, the next time around their drugs get approved, and it just happens over and over again. It really is a reflection in some ways of the domination of corporate America rather than the problems with pot. That's what we're really dealing with.
Right.
Yeah, that's a huge problem.
Mary, I thank you for your comment. I don't know if I entirely addressed your comment.
Well, what about the California medical community? Do you see advancement? Do you have a lot of experience out there?
Well, you know, it's like two steps forward, one and a half steps back. That's the way it's been since Proposition 215, 16 years ago, 1996 when it passed. Overall, there's been progress. Today, there was a very important court ruling in San Diego, which affirmed that a medical patient has a right to buy marijuana from somebody.
All right.
That was established today as part of the. You know, these things were always gray area and being contested in law. Everything's been contested, but there's been progress made, and the industry is very strong, even though it's vulnerable to federal attacks, and it's been weakened by the federal pushback, but certainly it's not down and out for the count. This is a very strong grassroots movement that, you know, you can close 20 dispensaries in L.A. and 20 more pop up in the next town. You know, this is just you can't really stop this phenomenon. And along the way, people are gaining insight and information about what helps and what doesn't. And one of the things Project CBD hoped to do was to facilitate a study so that those who are medicating with these kinds of strains, the less psychoactive strains, can report on what they're finding and the information will be collated by the Society of Cannabis Clinicians, a group of doctors who've been at it since Proposition 215 passed, and we want to report what people are finding, whether it's good or bad, effective or not. You know, we're looking to share that information so other people can benefit.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
No, Mark, I'm noticing that there's a lot of conditions treated by CBDs. What is one of the ones with post-traumatic stress syndrome that with them allowing that to be even considered to even get your card?
Well, you would think that PTSD would be an ideal condition for a CBD-rich cannabis because people who experience PTSD, whether it's military veterans or people who've had traumatic experiences in their lives growing up and so forth, sexual abuse, the psychological consequences are severe. And sometimes people in general are more anxious when they have PTSD. They just they're more inclined to paranoia, and or maybe even just really full blown psychosis. The pressures, the stresses that build up as a result of these traumatic incidents can really twist a person's mind and deform one's life in a very bad way. Well, since CBD is very effective for people with anxiety, it has anti-anxiety properties.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if someone gets high from THC and they get anxious and paranoid, CBD can counteract and act as an antidote, I should say. And these studies have been done, scientific studies of human subjects in Brazil in particular, this kind of work. So CBD, is because it has such potent anti-anxiety properties, anti-stress properties, it would be particularly good, I think, for military veterans and others who experience PTSD.
Right.
Now, which is not to say that good old high THC dominant pot wouldn't be also good. It could be very good, and many people with PTSD report it is. But for those who can't handle marijuana because of paranoia, anxiety, or stress, the CBD can be very, very helpful in these situations. So I think it ought to be, and every state that has a short list of conditions, California doesn't. It's any condition that a doctor feels that cannabis could help, you can get a letter of recommendation for. But in most states, it's a short list of conditions. And I would think every state that operates that way with a medical marijuana law should have PTSD included on this list.
Yeah.
And I know that there was,
I know how many people are trying to work on that.
Yeah.
Yes, there's some good work that is being done. And I know that MAPS, the multiple, Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. Yeah, Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. That's the name. They have actually gotten approval from the FDA, of all places, approval for a protocol of a study involving medical marijuana and military veterans with PTSD. And they were going to test several different strains, a high THC strain, and also one strain that was a CBD-rich strain. It would be the first time that this would be happening in an official capacity. But NIDA, the National Institute of Drug Abuse, would not allow MAPS, the group I just mentioned, access to government-grown marijuana to conduct a research study with veterans in PTSD. This is a scandal. The FDA approves the protocol, and NIDA doesn't give the marijuana for the government to use. I mean, anyone can get marijuana in this country, except if you're a scientist who wants to do legitimate research that the government approves. Then you can't get marijuana. I mean, anyone can just walk down the street. It's just phenomenal, the kind of contradictions that we live with in our society because the government is so bent out of shape about cannabis.
Yes, they are.
Mary had mentioned she says she doesn't think that the government wants to see the accurate data on this whole project.
Well, again, it's a kind of a strange contradiction because of what the government has sponsored with preclinical research, I mean research not involving human subjects, there's a tremendous amount of research really important research that the U.S. government has been at the forefront of sponsoring, but it keeps coming back, providing information, this research, that shows why medical marijuana works. And that's the ironic part about it.
It's
the government that's done these studies that validate medical marijuana, but then they want to the other part of the government wants to ignore that this is going on. But, eventually the situation can't hold. you know, because it's not,
right.
The government has many different departments, and there's many different people in these departments, and some are just decent people working in lousy bureaucracies, and they care about others, and they want important information to be let out, and you know, eventually we will prevail because we have the information on our side, the science is on our side, the patient's experiences are on our side on this. So I think it's just a matter of time.
In your opinion, just for fun, how much time? Do you think in our lifetimes we're going to see this? Do you think it's going to be another 100, 200 years? What do you think?
You know, it's really hard to say. I think that a change can happen very, very quickly. When you think about the Cold War face-off between the Soviet Union and the United States, you know, when I was growing up, we thought that was forever. It was just part of reality. It could never change. And all of a sudden, November 1989, the Berlin Wall comes down. It's like, what? Everything changes. I think the changes with respect to marijuana policy can be that dramatic, that sudden, and in some ways unpredictable. You know, no one would have predicted in 1988 that the Berlin Wall would be down a year later. But now
right.
we have the state ballot measures in Oregon, Washington, and Colorado to legalize
right.
adult use. We also have ballot measures in Arkansas and Massachusetts for medical marijuana, and many cities and other urban centers are voting on marijuana legislation for their area for decriminalization and so forth. So we may see a breakthrough in one of these states for full legalization, and that could really open the floodgates, or it might take still a few more years so that people can see why, my God, Colorado legalized, and you know, the sun still rises in the morning and sets at night, and the world hasn't ended. In fact, they've balanced their budget, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when they see that nothing has changed except that it's a more sensible way to conduct society, not having these laws on the books, you know, it could really spread like wildfire. But then again, maybe we're going to be stuck on this one for a while because invested interests in the government, particularly law enforcement, have a great deal to lose if marijuana is legalized. They have a great deal of money to lose. So,
a great deal. We have
unfortunately, those forces are still in play.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And they'll probably be there for quite some time. We have a question from a patient on the internet. They, you're talking about your organization is Project CBD. What about CBNs and other cannabinoids?
That's a very good question, actually. By launching an organization, an educational service called Project CBD, we didn't mean to say that, hey, we discovered the most important part of the plant. CBD is the most important. Well, no, that's not our approach. Our approach is to emphasize CBD as a way of highlighting the fact that it's not just about THC, that there's more than 100 other cannabinoids, there's other flavonoids and terpenoids in the plant. The terpenoids give it its unique smell. Flavonoids are very important medicinally. You know, flavonoids exist in many plants. It's what makes blueberries have blue skin, raspberries have red skin. Those are the flavonoids. It turns out to be very, very healthy, antioxidants and so forth. Marijuana has flavonoids in it. In fact, some flavonoids exist only in marijuana and no other place in the natural world. So there's lots
wow.
of different components of the plant. All these compounds interact synergistically together to form what scientists have called the entourage effect, so that the impact, the therapeutic impact of the whole plant is more than the sum of the individual plant's parts. So when you ask about CBN and THCV, another very important compound, and CBDA, and literally there's hundreds of them. You know,
mm-hmm.
all these things with these initials, they're all important. They generally exist in the plant in very, very small quantities after THC and CBD. But, you know, different strains do have different emphases, and growers and breeders in California with the labs now that can test the different strains for terpenes as well as cannabinoids are finding some very interesting things. We're finding CBG, cannabigerol, as opposed to CBD. It's a very important compound with medicinal effects. THCV is coming up, and that's very,
yeah.
very important because it has, in some ways, opposite effects from THC. It blocks the receptor that THC activates, but it turns out that THCV, in combination with CBD, is really looking like the blockbuster combination is where the scientists are reporting for conditions like diabetes, heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
THCV and CBD is going to be the killer app, so to speak. That's what's coming down the pipe. And maybe we'll be able to access this on the ground in medical marijuana states as well. That's what we're hoping. But there'll be ultimately Big Pharma will step in and provide combinations of these different cannabinoids. And that might be very helpful to some people, but we should never lose sight of the ultimate importance of the whole plant. And it's to defend whole plant cannabis therapeutics and to promote whole plant cannabis therapeutics. That's why we formed CBD, Project CBD.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Well, we're going to wrap it up here. We've been on for quite some time. We appreciate you staying on so long with us. This is great. Is there anything else you want to say? And also, don't forget to tell us where to get the book and how to get to Project CBD as well.
Well, Project CBD and the book Smoke Signals, my recently published book, which has a lot about CBD in there, although it's not just about CBD, it's about a lot more, and it's not just about the medicine, it's about the whole cultural story of cannabis. We're constantly putting out new material. You know, the book is, the last chapter is written, but the material for future chapters keep getting written.
So
we'll be reporting on the science, on the politics. You can check into the Smoke Signals, the book Facebook page, the Project CBD Facebook page. We're posting a lot there. We also have web pages. And people can get the book, obviously, from Amazon.com. It's easy.
Right.
But hopefully you can encourage your local independent bookstore to carry Smoke Signals. And I can promise you, if you start reading the first few pages, you won't put it down. Though it's a long book. It's not something you just read in a day. It's over 500 pages. But it's a lot there. And even for those who feel they know everything about pot, they'll find a lot of new stuff.
Awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much for being here. And
my pleasure.
It was an honor.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah. And check out all those websites. There's lots of great information there. Martin, thank you again. Are you going to be on tour with your book out in Tucson anytime soon?
I don't know when I'll be back to Tucson. I was there for the Patients Out of Time conference in April. But at some point when I can link up with a dispensary, I know that they're starting to form or supposed to be forming in Arizona, that there's been a lot of problems with the political realities. But I'd be happy to come out and speak about Project CBD and meet people and keep this conversation moving forward.
Well, in the meantime, you should come to Tumbleweeds Health Center and do a little presentation. That would be wonderful.
That would be great. We'll talk about it and we'll arrange it. That would be really nice.
Book sign. Okay. That would be great. Thank you so much again for being here. We really appreciate it. Hello to California from us. And have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Let's see how. All right. Did I do it? Did I click the right person out there? I think I did. Oh, that was really cool. And yeah, the book, I haven't read it yet, but have you read it, Cannabis Kid?
I have not read it.
I did watch his little 40-minute blip. It was a book signing, and you just have to go to smokesignalsthebook.com to watch that, and it's really neat. You're going to want to get the book.
Some other books that seem really interesting on there as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, him talking about a lot of the cannabinoids that are going on these days and the scientists are looking at is definitely very interesting. He's definitely on top of his game.
Yeah, and you can download the book, too. I was just told today you can actually download it. So while we're waiting. Amazon.com. But yeah, do it. Download it. It's going to be great. There's so many things to get to in these last 10, 12 minutes here. Let's see. The news, we have TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com will always have the news articles that we're going to read, maybe part of. They'll always be on the news section of TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com. If we don't get to that, we really like to have the interviews take as much time as they can. And we also have a couple shout-outs, actually, in our little events here. I don't know if you all read weekly the Tucson Weekly. Mr. Smith does an incredible job of reporting medical marijuana news around the state and Tucson and tells us what's going on. And if you read this week's article, it's about partially about his grandmother, and she's not feeling well. So we at Tumbleweeds, and from Weed Day Wednesday, we'd just like to say that we are sending prayers and thoughts and good vibes out there to the entire Smith family and to Grandma Smith, if that's who you are. We'll call you Grandma Smith. But we just want to say we're thinking about you.
Good vibes.
Yeah, lots of good vibes. We'll get back to events later, but we wanted to do that for Mr. Smith. Let's see. So we got about 10 minutes left here, and we have to get to empathy because that's just awesome.
That's a good one tonight.
But the Mr. Lee was talking about some of the court cases happening, and we have news here about the judge hears arguments on Arizona marijuana law. And again, we'll just read a little snippet of this, and you can check the rest on the website. But it says, in Phoenix, lawyers for Arizona and the state's most populous county argued in court Friday that federal drug laws preempt Arizona's voter-approved medical marijuana law. Meanwhile, attorneys for the American Civil Liberties Union and its Arizona affiliate pushed for full implementation of the law passed in 2010, saying the state is allowed to make policy decisions on medical marijuana.
After a nearly two-hour hearing in the Northwest Phoenix Maricopa County Superior Court, Judge Michael Gordon declined to issue an expedite ruling. "This is important. This is an important decision. I don't want to pull the trigger too quickly," Gordon said. "I will do my best to get something out timely, and I won't give you a date. I have a lot of work to do." The cases focus heavily on the legal argument called preemption, an issue that has been around since the Founding Fathers declared that the laws of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
The Obama administration's reliance on preemption argument in the Arizona case markets the latest chapter in its use to the legal tool. So that's pretty interesting.
That is pretty interesting.
That they're going that far with it.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I think there's a lot more stickier stuff going on in Phoenix.
And up north.
Than up north.
Well, and I think in the whole program than what we
were doing. Yeah, I mean, you definitely have people that aren't doing it right. And you have people that are working hard and wanting to do it for the patients and actually have the patient at heart during this whole situation.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. We also have another little news bit here about a group of Arizona moms that say marijuana makes them better moms.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and we didn't finish reading the top article. Like I said, you can check the rest out for the full. It's huge. It's a big article on tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. But again, Phoenix, you would think most parents would want to keep drugs out of the home. But there's a movement going on in the valley with moms smoking pot because they say it makes them better parents. A new organization called Arizona Moms for Marijuana is picking up steam. The group's president and another member claim there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. For Victoria Nunez, the mother of a 22-month-old girl, education has always been important. This community activist served on the board of Phoenix Normal, a national organization for the reform of marijuana laws. Now she has redirected her energy to a new cause as the chapter leader for Arizona Moms for Marijuana. And she says, "We want to educate people on all the aspects this plant can do. It is a safer alternative recreationally, medically, and environmentally."
You know, I was sitting in Tumbleweed a couple weeks ago, and there was a gentleman came in, and he was explaining to me how, you know, he used to come home and drink wine every night, 2 to 3 bottles of wine to just get him to relax and wind down. And he started smoking cannabis. He was a patient at Tumbleweeds, and he said that since he started smoking, he's actually helping his children with their homework every night.
Oh.
He's not drinking anymore.
Wow.
It's actually calmed down his drinking. He doesn't even drink wine.
Wow, this is liver happy.
Yeah. Talk about and him having a whole different sense for his kids.
Wow. Well, whole new appreciation for life.
Yeah.
An awareness, maybe.
Yeah. So, I mean, not just moms, but fathers, too. So.
Well, yeah, parents and people in general.
It's a stressful world out there.
It is a stressful world out there.
And a little bit of cannabis never hurt anybody.
No, it sure didn't.
And a lot of cannabis never hurt anybody.
No, it just puts you to sleep and never
sometimes
has it killed anybody.
Needs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, why don't we there were so many things to get to this evening. We were going to do a product review, which I'm going to wait and do maybe next week or even the week after. Give it a fair review. I'll try this thing at home again. It's a Spin Pro Handy Trimmer. And right now, I'm just going to say it out loud. It's just about getting a C rating from us over here right now. So we're going to give it another go. We're going to see what happens. But we're going to tell you next week why. But let's get to empathy because,
Was it scary?
It was. Oh, my God. It was very scary. Poor little buds. It was. Flipping them all up. Ah, they're screaming.
Right before Halloween.
I know. They were like, what did we do wrong?
right.
All right, empathy.
We're looking at why right now. Worship the golden calf. Wow. So the golden calf on Wall Street, and they've got crazy Wall Street bankers and Wall Street business guys tackling this golden cow and ripping him down off the high. They've got briefcases in the air. They're going crazy. One guy's throwing a rope around his neck and just going to hang himself because of the Wall Street going bad.
Oh.
So it says, why? Why worship the golden calf? The stock market speculations almost destroyed the world economy. But bankers continue to receive mind-boggling bonuses. During the first 9 months of 2009, five of the largest banks that received federal aid, Citigroup, Bank of America, Goldman and Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Chase, and Morgan Stanley, together set aside about $90 billion of compensation.
Set aside.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's nice.
That's what I have.
Wall Street bailout cost reaches $4.6
trillion. Oh, God.
Most from Federal Reserve loans, part of which is going toward bonuses. So everyone's getting paid because all that money that was lost is getting paid now out to all the people that were involved with that. Wow.
So wow.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, look at the noose. Throwing their money box in the air. That is very interesting. So the why not? Worship the holy cow. And here it looks like we've got, who is this? What's the Indian goddess here? Oh my goodness, we're blanking. It's that time of the night. We're going to think of who that is. Sheep, not sheep. We're going to figure this out. Anyway, while we're having a brain freeze, it's beautiful. You've got the little Om symbol. She's sitting atop this holy cow here, and we've got a big doobie being smoked by a spiritual guru here, and it says Om. The smoke says Om as it's coming out, tapping his little clinkers, those little, what are those called? Man, it must be that night. I'm having those
little chimes in their fingers.
No, that's the drum. That's a good drum. Anyway.
The little symbol.
Worship the holy cow. Help us out with these words. The cow is revered and respected throughout India as it symbolizes the vehicle of one of the most important divinities of Hinduism, Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva. I knew they were going to give her a name. Thank God.
In Hindu India.
Thanks, Shiva.
Cannabis is believed to have been used as an entheogen as early as 1000 BCE. In mainstream lay religious usage, it is usually taken as a concoction of milk called bhang and used during religious ceremonies such as marriage, as well as the Hindu celebrations of Holi. Hashish or charas is widely smoked by Shivite devotees. Shivite. And cannabis itself is seen as a gift of Shiva to aid in sadhana, meditation. Wandering ascetic sadhus are often seen smoking charas with a chilum in their daily lives. And a chilum is a ceramic cone-shaped pipe.
I think the human race has gotten away from...
human. Being human.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it seems like to me. I don't know. Big money, big markets, big
all
media.
Check
out www.why-whynot.net. Empathy, Food for Thought is an awesome book. We didn't even do any. We have not done commercials yet. We would like to give an awesome shout out to the Growers House at 227 East Valencia, growershouse.com. If you want to grow, learn about growing, be surrounded by growers.
And they just celebrated
their... smart guys. They just had a one-year anniversary Saturday.
Yeah.
Yay for Growers House. That's
awesome.
Growers House. Yeah. Speaking of one-year anniversaries, Tumbleweeds Health Center is having theirs November 10th.
And it was just like yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. I know.
No.
12 to 4:20 p.m. It was just like yesterday. It flew by. It's been so awesome. They are giving away prizes such as certifications, med testing, memberships, pipes.
Goodies. Lots of goodies.
Lots of goodies. Vendors are going to be here. AZ for Normal is going to be here. Holy Smokes is going to be here. Stealth Products are going to be here. We're going to have all sorts of things going on. Come down here and check this out. We've got the National Marijuana Business Conference and VIP Call November 8th and 9th, and there's discounted tickets on sale for that. Harm Reduction Conference is November 15th through the 18th in Portland.
And the 25th Cannabis Cup Amsterdam, which...
Oh, my goodness. Still waiting for my birthday.
Still waiting for her birthday.
Still waiting. We actually have another little shout-out. The Arizona Wellness Chamber of Commerce is hosting a private screening of the important new medical marijuana documentary, Code of the West, a moving chronicle of the battle over safe access fought in Montana in the legislature in 2011. It's Saturday, November 3rd, 3 to 4:20 p.m. in Scottsdale at the Ultra Star Cinema with a reception with a Montana cultivator who was there during the tumultuous period to follow the movie screening. So he will be there. So check that out, too.
You said the time on your Tumbleweed's big party is
noon to 4:20.
Noon to 4:20.
Yeah, noon to 4:20.
On November 10th,
yes.
Saturday.
And we're pretty sure, not confirmed completely, but one of our other commercials here is for AZ Med Testing. They're going to hopefully be there, but they're the wonderful company that tests our medicine to make sure that there are no aliens
down here
in there.
Who will be testing our medicine?
They have testees. Well,
sure.
Yeah,
hopefully they're here.
Yeah, they've got people doing it. You know what? We're going to start this little fun trivia question game every week so patients can win a free roll over at Tumbleweeds Health Center. Do you want to pick something out there?
I've just got some.
Yeah, you've got the stoner cards. You can just smoke a bowl right now.
I got Happy Token card plus 3 points. Go again. And I got the Doobie card, which I'm going to put that in my back pocket.
Yeah, you should always carry that. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a really good one. Read that. Ask that one.
Right.
Don't read the answer because you have to
tell
the tumbleweeds
in
the first patient. Only one patient.
Only one patient. Get
the free roll.
Which two U.S. presidents have allegedly grown hemp?
All right.
So, yes. Call in.
That was really bad. We got to practice our doo-doos. That was bad. Yeah, call in. Call us. Do you have your closing sheet? We would like to thank Mr. Martin Lee of Project CBD and his wonderful new book, Smoke Signals. Check that out for joining us tonight. We would like to thank Blog Talk Radio for an ever-dependable radio show. Growers House. We would like to thank Growers House for helping us grow our wonderful goods. Can't do it without you guys.
And always
AZ Med Testing.
Oh, AZ Med Testing. Sorry.
Mary Jane Survival Guide and Tumbleweeds Health Center for a home.
Cash Hide bracelets
show.
Are always.
Always for sale. Cash Hide bracelets, Irvin Rosenfeld books. There's so much information, education going on down here at Tumbleweeds to get. Remember, be smart,
be safe,
and educate. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We'll see you next week for the American Cannabis Nurses Association. Check it out, and don't forget to come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center November 10th.
Thank our wonderful audience.
Oh, yeah. Woo! Thank you. Woo! Always fun having you guys down here. November 10th, Tumbleweeds Health Center, big anniversary celebration. Come down. Check it out. Thanks so much. Happy Weeds Day Wednesday. Woo!